testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. Rejoicing the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
Teaching today, and we're calling our teaching "Watch Out for Your Confession in Everyday Trials." Watch out for your confession in everyday trials. The Bible is quite clear that we can be snared by our own words. We can be hindered by confessing the opposite to God's word. And that is why we go through these trials, because very often we're not only tried in our trials, but we can hear what comes out of our mouth. A trial is a very good test as to where you are in faith and trusting God. And if we are going to confess completely the opposite to what God says and what he says in his word, then the enemy can have access, and he can hinder and he can buffet. We know that in a court of law, when you have your barristers, your judges, they very often try to trip you up. They try to get you to say things. They try to snare you at times with your confession, your words. They try to hold these things against you. Certainly the opposition does. And that goes on in a court of law. Well, that goes on in the heavenlies. That goes on where the powers of darkness are. And that is another reason why Jesus is our intercessor, who is interceding, who's taking our case before Almighty God. And that is why the Holy Spirit has come in which to lead and guide and teach us. Because very often we find ourselves in a spiritual warfare. We are not wrestling with flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, as Ephesians tells us. And so we have to be on our guard as to what comes out of our mouth. That is why in Scripture there is so much that speaks about a still tongue, wisdom, knowledge and understanding, to guard our words, and so on. Well, that's really what we're going to look at today. And we're going to look at something very familiar in the Scriptures that we all know very well, but I think we need to familiarize ourselves. And turn with me, if you will, to the book of Numbers, chapter 13, the book of Numbers, chapter 13. And I want to take it up from verse 25. And we all know the story very well, where they're sent out to seek the land, the promised land that God has promised to the children of Israel. And they come back, including Joshua and Caleb. And we see something here that takes place with regard to confession, with regard to words. And we'll take it up from verse 25 of Numbers 13. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness at Paran and Kadesh. They brought back word to them, to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to a land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And all the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quoted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, and the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." So what are they encountering here? The enemy, and they're also encountering the giants. And we know some of these stood some 11 to 13 feet tall. And then it goes on, the story. "So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, 'If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had dwelt in this wilderness, or died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us in this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?' So they said to one another, 'Let us select a leader and return to Egypt.'" And then the story goes on. "Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the Lord of Israel, and they supplicate, they intercede for the rebellion of the children of Israel." And the story goes on, where God has mercy over them, but he says that this people will not enter into the promised land. And indeed, they didn't. They remained in the wilderness and they perished. Why was it that they perished? Because of their confession, their unbelief. They confess, wish we stay in Egypt or go back or stay in the wilderness. And God gave them exactly what they said. They would not listen to the good report of Joshua and Caleb. They were of another spirit. They were speaking by faith. They were believing and trusting in the promises of God's word and the might of God. But the rest who went and spied out the land with them said, "We cannot overtake these giants. They're far too powerful, far too big. We can't take them." And so, of course, the children of Israel, they sided with that. And not only did they side with that, but they, again, being stiff-necked, rebellious, they decided to have another leader. So we see what's going on here. And that is why I'm calling our teaching today, "Watch out for your confession in everyday trials." You see, our trials are a good indicator to our confession of faith. That is why God allows us to go through trials and tribulations, because for the Christian, it is our spiritual thermometer. It reads your spiritual temperature. It tells you where you are. It indicates what is going on. And of course, we see this here with the children of Israel. You see, this isn't untypical of how we view things when we go through trials. You see, fear hinders our confession. You see, they couldn't hear what they were saying. And that was the tragedy of it. What they're saying here, rebelling, they couldn't hear what they were saying. And that was the tragedy. And is that our problem when we face these spiritual giants in our lives? Can we hear what we are saying? Are we aware what could be manifesting? Are we dealing with that fear, that hindrance? You see, this is where God wants to make us sensitive. And the reason being is because we're not up against flesh and blood, we're up against powers, principalities. We have an enemy who wishes to snare us. And he wishes to snare us with what comes out of our mouth. I knew years ago someone who feared getting cancer. A terrible fear. And it would come out. And it would come out of the confession. And years later, guess what? That very person who didn't deal with that, sadly, died of cancer. We have to wake up that we are not wrestling with flesh and blood. We are in a spiritual warfare. And God wants to open the eyes of Christians to this. And this will also, of course, make our prayers and intercessions far more powerful as well. When we begin to realize that God has given us authority in and through the mighty name of Jesus to war against powers and principalities and dominions. That is the Christian church's responsibility, The world doesn't know it. The world is blind to it. But it is our responsibility. Because we are seeing tremendous things that are happening now. We are seeing the falling away. There's something every day we hear that's going on. And it seems at times as though the enemy is triumphing. And so we have to have this understanding, this sensitivity, that our prayers, our confessions, what we are saying, not only lines up with the word of God, but it is directed towards the powers of darkness through the mighty name of Jesus. And that is why our trials are an indicator as to whether we have faith in our hearts or not. Because we're told, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the children of Israel clearly reveal here that they did not have faith. They had been seeing the miracles of God, how God had brought them out under Pharaoh, brought out a whole nation, and brought them out into the wilderness. They had seen the miracles. And yet when it came to the test, it still had not done anything. It hadn't changed them within their hearts. And that is why God allows us to go through the trials, to show us, it's an indicator to where we are. Am I believing? Am I trusting God with that simple childlike faith or not? And if we are aware that we're not, and we hear through the trial what's happening, what's going on, then we have a wonderful opportunity to be able to get it right. You see, if you do not see the bigger picture to your trials, you will not see that you can get deliverance through that trial. God has a way of turning something. He has a way of using everything in which we can get the victory. I at times hear something that comes out of my mouth, or when a trial comes up and I hear something, or I've confessed something or said something that's not lining up with God's word. I thank God that He has given me the sensitivity to hear what I have said. And then I repent. Father, I am sorry. That is wrong. That is not what your word says. That is fear that's speaking. That is unbelief that is speaking. Cleanse me. Change me. Help me. Now, is our Heavenly Father who loves us, is He going to turn His ear against that and ignore that? No, He's not. That very trial He's allowed you to go through is what He wants to hear from you, so that He can work that change, that deliverance. He can get that faith into your heart, where you can stand firm and believe. You see, God presented a situation here to the children of Israel where they could decide to hear Joshua and Caleb, or to hear the elders. God gave them a choice. Joshua and Caleb were speaking God's word. They were agreeing with the power and might of God. The elders were speaking in the flesh, in unbelief. And God gave the children of Israel a choice. And that is where our free will comes in, because God never forces us. Every time we listen to a teaching, a sermon, we are presented with a choice, a decision. That is why the scriptures are absolutely clear that life and death is in the preaching and teaching of the gospel. It is the law of life, or the law of death. There are two laws that are in operation. Now, of course, if we love the Lord Jesus Christ with all our hearts, then we know what we're going to choose. And so he's going to work. And sometimes he's going to present situations where we have a choice, whether we're going to believe, trust and obey God, or we're going to do it our own way. But if you do it your own way, you bear the consequences of it, the same as the children of Israel did. They chose to listen to the elders instead of the two men. And that's why God sometimes gets us to believe through the unobvious. God has a way in which he's going to find out whether we're really trusting in the promises of God, whether we're going to confess positively over our lives, confess positively over our health, over our mind, our going out, when we travel in the car, or whatever we do, whoever we meet. This is why it's so important, before you meet the day, that you have the whole armour on, that you have committed your day to the Lord, that you have confessed that good confession. It's absolutely vital that we are spiritually clothed before we face each day, because there is an enemy there who is trying to trip you up, trying to deceive you, and so on. And that is why also we have to watch over our prejudices, our wrong attitudes, because they can often get in the way of faith. We are told in the scriptures, as a man thinketh, so is he. You very often are the sum total of your thinking. If you are thinking resentment and unforgiveness, that is going to come out in some way or another. That is why Jesus said it's not what goes into a man that defiles, it's what comes out. And there is nothing like a trial in which to deliver us from these things or these wrong things that we still at times have held on to. Because they will manifest, they will come out in time. If there is greed or lust within your heart, it's going to come out in some way or form eventually. That is why God is circumcising in these last days the sons of Levi. We are under a spiritual circumcision now, as God is preparing the bride of Christ to meet the bridegroom. And no finer way of where he's changing these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh is through the trials that we go through the tests, through the hearing of the word of God, because we're told in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing the word. So there's no finer way in which God does it. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13. And look at verses 53 to 58. Chapter 13, verses 53 to 58. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, that he departed from there. And when he had come over to the country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not his mother called Mary, and his brother James, Jesus, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honour except in his own country and in his own house. Now, he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And there was the problem. And not a lot could be done. They couldn't see these miracles that Jesus was performing because there was unbelief. And this is what God has to purge. This is what he's doing with us. He's purging this out of us so that we will in these last days, through the latter rain outpouring, I believe, see the greater works again manifested in the Christian church. Well, bearing that in mind then, let's look at some areas with regard to watching out for our confession. Well, the first area I'd like to look at, you can't change your confession if it isn't in your heart. So don't even try. Don't even try after hearing this sermon, because we're all of us are probably challenged. I know I'm challenged when I prepare my sermons. I have to seek God. Is this really happening with me? Is this in my heart? If it isn't, then it's not going to happen. Well, turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. So, something very profound there. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. A lot of our thinking or attitude comes as a result of what is in our heart. And sometimes it's not always right. Sometimes it's not edifying. Sometimes it's not agreeing with the Word of God. Now, only God can change the heart. Only God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can put the seed of his Word into your heart and my heart. That is what makes our life and walk supernatural, miraculous. That is why you are so different from the world. Because good seed, the word of God, is being sown into your life. The world doesn't experience that. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. For what purpose? So that your heart and your mind think and work together. You see, the mind and the heart are connected. The scriptures clearly show us this. And so when you hear things that are wrong that come out of a Christian's mouth that shouldn't be, that is an indicator that the heart needs to be worked upon. There is a wrong thinking, there is wrong attitudes. That is what the scripture is telling us here. And so there is nothing like hearing and reading the Word of God in which to change our hearts, which it does, so that our minds agree with the heart and the heart agrees with the mind. Hence, your confession lines up with the Word of God. You see, it says, as he thinks. Why do I think like that? Why am I thinking like that? Why am I saying, I can't do that, I'm not very good at doing that? I sometimes have students, as a lot of you know, I teach art. And I very often encounter students who say, oh, I can't possibly paint that, I can't draw that, there's no way I can draw that. And when I hear it said quite a few times, and they do say this, I sometimes say to them, who is telling you that? And they stop and they think. And they sort of say, I don't know. I've obviously picked it up somewhere. I don't know. I say it, don't I? You see, it gets them thinking. Well, how much more we who are Christians born again, who now have the Holy Spirit, who leads and guides and teaches us. That is what he's doing. Why are you confessing that? Why are you thinking that? Where have you got it from? Who is telling you that? It certainly isn't God. So we need to change it. And the only way we change our confession to line up with God's promises is to ask God to work that within me. Change that, Lord. I have heard what's come out of my mouth through this trial. I don't like it. It's not right. It's not what your word says. And God will work that. And you probably will be aware of him saying, you have learned something through this trial. You have seen now why I have allowed you to go through this trial in order for you to be able to see what was going on, what was happening, what was manifesting. This is why I always say, with God, the picture is always a bigger one. It's always bigger than ourselves with what God is doing with us, so that we can give him all the glory and all the praise. And so you need to talk your faith through with God. It says in the Word of God, you have not because you ask not. You ask amiss. We're so often asking amiss. And it's like God is saying, come, let us agree, let us talk our faith through. Let me hear these areas where you still have a problem believing. That is so often what God is challenging us to do with him, before him, is to confess these things. It's very important. The children of Israel would have been saved. The children of Israel would have gone in and possessed that land had they been honest before God. But they weren't. They said, let's have another leader. Had enough of this. Let's go back. You see, that was nothing but fear speaking because of the size of the giants. And all our trials seem so large and so big, and those mountains seem impossible to conquer. This walk as a Christian sometimes feels impossible sometimes. Sometimes you ask yourself, who can be saved? How many is there of us? It seems so few are walking like I'm walking. These are real experiences, real feelings, real emotions that we go through. And so we have this wonderful opportunity to talk with our Heavenly Father and to bring out these areas of unbelief. I have to. Sometimes I said, Lord, I can believe in this area. I've got faith for this, but for this other trial or whatever it is I'm facing, it seems like a mountain. It just seems I don't have any faith. I talk it out with my Heavenly Father. And you should talk it out with your Heavenly Father, because he has a way of removing these hindrances to our faith that only he and he alone can do. We try to do it in our own strength, and we can't. Well, secondly, looking at these areas, when the confession of faith is there, guard it. Because Satan will try in any way to slip up. He'll try to hinder your confession. When you are confessing and your confession is lining up with God's word and the promises of God's word, and you know faith is there, then guard it. Don't give it away. Watch the enemy, because he's going to try and trip you up. You see, Satan hates a Christian who believes in the promises of God's word. He fights as much as he can to stop us confessing the confession of God's word. This is why he tries to snare us with our words. And this is why he tries to oppress us with fear. Did you know that is Satan's problem? Did you know that Satan fears Almighty God because he knows his destiny? He knows finally where he's going to be in the lake of fire and brimstone. And so he oppresses, he holds the world in fear. And you hear it every day. You hear it in the news. You hear it with your politicians. You hear it out of your family. We are bombarded with fear, the negative, the what if. And that is what God is delivering us from. And so when you are in those places of faith believing, guard it. Hold on to it. Because the enemy, he doesn't like a saint believing and confessing the promises of God. And thirdly, we always should look to Jesus. And not only look to him, but we need to be committed to him. Faith needs a relationship, a commitment with Almighty God. You cannot have a faith that pleases God if you are not committed to the Lord. And sometimes God will have to expose weaknesses in our commitment to him or our consecration. And that is why you're not in the faith that you should be and therefore can't confess as you should. Because it comes down to commitment. And again, only the Holy Spirit can work that commitment to him in your life. That is why he said, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom. The kingdom of God. That is where Jesus is. That is his dwelling place. That is where you are going. You're simply a sojourner passing through. That is what you're to see. And he says, everything else will be added, given. Meaning, time for commitment. You may be a busy person, a family man, or whatever it is. You're saying, gosh, you know, it's so difficult to be committed to the Lord. I've got a full-time job, or whatever it is. Your walk is a supernatural walk. It's not a walk like the world. He said, if you put him first, all these things will be added. He will add for that relationship, that quality time that you can have with him. You will just see things happening in your life that couldn't happen otherwise, because you are putting him first. But he tries us, he tests us in that sometimes. And because Jesus isn't first in our life, therefore our faith, our confession is hindered. You see, faith will always be challenged. Because it's free, but not cheap. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so our faith in this life is going to be challenged. Jesus challenged the faith of his disciples. He was always helping and working with them to get to that place of believing and trusting God. So often our faith is so complicated, hindered. We need to ask God for that simple, childlike faith. A faith that doesn't question, always wants answers or whatever. Just knowing that God never, ever makes a mistake. Everything he does in your life and my life is absolute perfection. No sin, no blemish. It is perfect from the throne of grace. That is ultimately the faith he's working with each of us. And if he chooses not to show yet, well, then it doesn't make any difference. There's always a right time he'll show us the bigger, the larger picture. He'll give us that revelation, that understanding in his right time and way. We want it now. I want to know now and everything. We couldn't take it. There's a lot of things God wants to show you and I, but we can't take it yet. We would run away or just simply burn up at the presence of Almighty God. He has a right time in which he reveals himself to us. So it is that commitment, it's that looking to him all the time. And he's going to allow our faith at times to be challenged. You see, when you confess your faith, you're not always aware that there are many things each day that we confess and don't think any more on it. Sometimes our faith is just working, and it isn't till the end of the day, or we put our heads down on the bed, on our bed, and we think, praise God, that happened today. That was faith that happened. There are things that happen to us far more than we realize. And very often that's how faith is. It just simply happens. You haven't even questioned it. You haven't even doubt. You just know that God is there. God has done it, or whatever it is. That is often what faith is about. I'm always impressed when Jesus was called to raise Lazarus from the dead. And we know that when he turned up, they thought he turned up too late. He was dead in the tomb, embalmed. I thought, what's the point? He should have come a few days earlier. And all Jesus did, looked up to heaven, and the most simplest prayer, Father, I thank you, you've heard me. Come forth, Lazarus. That is a simple, childlike faith. And look at what happened. The most profound thing happened. And I don't know whether you're aware of it, but praise God, he said, come forth, Lazarus. If he didn't use the name Lazarus, probably all the dead would rise up at that point. But he used the name Lazarus. And there, of course, again, he was showing that he is the resurrection, the life. It was always leading, pointing to something. Your faith and what God does through you is always leading and pointing to something, and that is to the glory of Almighty God. God has invested his Son, Jesus Christ, in you and I. Didn't have to do it, but he did. He's invested his glory, his name. And God is going to be glorified in these last days. This is why he says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And the only way that Jesus is going to be lifted up in the last day contemporary church is through a people who believe in God's word, who are living and confessing God's word. There's going to be no other way that this is going to be achieved, because the enemy hates a Christian who is believing, living the word of God. He fears that more than anything, because he knows what is going to be accomplished by this. And he is exposed. He is seen. And finally, our confession, it doesn't bring possession. What it is, in other words, our confession shouldn't have anger in it, or fear, or frustration, or apathy, or just a turning off. That's not what our faith is about. And if we have these things, or this anger rises up, or this apathy, this procrastination, then God is going to allow you to go through a trial in which to get delivered from that. We said back, didn't we, in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you're thinking this apathy, this frustration, this fear, this anger, that is a hindrance to your faith. And so God is going to set in motion a trial where he's going to go to the root of that problem to deliver you, to deliver me. And that is why he does this, in order to cleanse us so that we make that right confession, that our confession lines up with the word of God. In your quiet time, read Romans 10. That is all about confession. And so this is what he does, and this is why he allows us to go through these trials. So summing up then what we've been talking about, if you hear the negative coming out of your mouth, unbelief, then it's an opportunity to deal with it, to confess it before your Heavenly Father, to get yourself cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And God will always work in us to get it right, because it's about his name. It's about his glory. He wants to glorify his name through you and me. Not through somebody else, not through a minister or whatever it is. Each of us have a part in the body of Christ. And he wants to use you. He wants to glorify his name through you, so that the world will see that Jesus is still alive today. Because most of the world today, their only understanding of Jesus is where they hear it through blasphemy, through swearing. And you note it's always God's name, it's Jesus' name, never anyone else. That's the powers of darkness blaspheming through people. We have to rise up, brothers and sisters. As the word of God says, it's not by might nor by power, by my spirit, says the Lord. And that is why he baptizes us in the Holy Spirit, empowers us for the very purpose, so that in our weakness we are made strong, that we decrease, that he increases. It is all about the life of Christ that lives in you and I. It's not about me, it's not about you, it is about Christ, the fullness of the Godhead that dwells, tabernacles in you and I. That is what the deeper life walk is about. And he's going to work on our faith and our confession in order for this to be done. So there we are. The title which we've said today, Watch Out for Your Confession in Everyday Trials. And if you are going through a trial, and it seems there's just mountains in front of you, it just seems impossible, you have a time now in which to correct your confession. Whatever it looks like, you can confess, I am well able to take this land. I'm well able to enter in, because it has been promised, it's been given to us. There is still a spiritual land that the Christian church has got to possess before Jesus comes for us. And we have to watch our confession. And I will say again as I close, Your warfare is not against flesh and blood. Your warfare is not what you see, what you hear, what you touch, what you smell. Your warfare is spiritual. It is in the heavens. It is against powers, principalities, dominions. And God has given his name and his blood in which you can and will overcome. And it is time, brothers and sisters, we start to rise up. Not for yourself, not for me, but for the glory of Almighty God.
Up my eyes to the hills, from whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you not slumber. Oh, neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord, he is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Oh, nor the moon by
forever.